Speaking of camps, while this isn't a camp per se, it's not a camp either. The University of Pittsburgh's Gene Teen Summer Program provides an opportunity for students who are really interested in biology and learning alongside professionals in the field. We have five students with us today, and I'll ask you, we're just going to go right around the room to each introduce yourself. Let us know where you go to high school, and if you have any specific shout-outs, this is a perfect time to do it. If you don't have any, that's fine, too. I just want to be sure we don't miss that opportunity. Adarsh, we'll start with you.
Hello, my name's Adarsh, and I go to Franklin Regional High School, and I'll be a senior next year.
Hi, my name's Ivy. I go to Mount Lebanon, and I will also be a senior next year, or this year.
Hi, I'm Angel. I go to Mount Lebanon High School. I'm 15, and shout out to my family for being here with me today.
Hi, I'm Colby. I'm 15. I go to Oakland Catholic, and I'd like to shout out my sister, Nora.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm 17. I go to Gateway High School, and I'd like to shout out my bio teacher, Dr. Kohler, and my mom for being here today.
And any other shout outs that anybody missed?
I would like to thank Becky and Jess for helping with us with these past 4 weeks.
Yes, that's Jess Robertson and Becky Gonda, who are both affiliated with the Gene Teen Summer Program. And who can tell me what this program's about? And I'm curious why you particularly were interested in the program. And we could just jump into it.
So Gene Team is a four-week summer program where we're doing research on genetics. This year specifically, we're looking at the evolution of immunity, and we're doing this by studying immune responses in sponges.
Interesting. Why are sponges a good candidate for studying this?
Because they're one of the earliest multicellular organisms to possess signaling pathways.
What's a signaling pathway?
Signaling pathways are like how cells formulate responses to signals that they're getting. So they basically amplify the signal that they would be getting from something around them. For us, a lot of that was bacteria. And then when they amplify the signal, they can then turn on and off genes with transcription factors, but that's not important. Basically, they can turn on and off genes to activate a response.
Wow. Emma, you're 17, right?
Yes.
That's an incredible description of that. You'd be a good teacher the way you explained it. So you see, Adarsh, these reactions of the sponges help show whether their immune system might be changing or evolving?
So sponges live within bacteria, and they also eat bacteria. So we were researching the effects of different bacteria on how the sponges would react. So we would treat our sponges with different bacterial components because we didn't want to accidentally expose ourselves to the full harmful bacteria. So we just looked at the part of the bacteria that would actually bind to the sponge and cause that signaling pathway. And we would look at the sponges under a microscope and see the before and after of the effect of that bacteria on it. And we can learn a little bit more about their immune system that way.
That is amazing. Is the connection to human beings clear is in your mind to anybody as to how this might help? Not that sponges don't deserve care, but how this research might apply to humans?
So I would say one of the big things that we saw was the concentration that we're introducing to our bacteria to our sponges has a big impact on how much of a reaction we're seeing. So we introduced one type of bacteria that's called Pseudomonas, and we saw a really negative effect on the sponges. But we also took a sample from our sponges, and we saw that Pseudomonas also lived within the environment of these sponges. So we think that over time, sponges developed resistance in smaller dosages to Pseudomonas. So we think that this could tell us a little bit more into how resistance is built up in any organism.
Interesting. Ivy, what has surprised you about the work you're doing, just generally speaking, about skills you've had to master? Because I can't imagine you can anticipate everything that's going to happen at a camp like this.
Yeah, no, we definitely can't. And like Colby said, it was really interesting to see that, you know, we cultured bacteria. So we pulled like a sample of bacteria from the water that was growing, that was living around the sponge. And we grew that bacteria. And then we sent it off to get identified. And, you know, we found the Pseudomonas coexisting with the sponge, but then the Pseudomonas also harmed the sponge at higher concentrations, which, you know, you don't know how those two come about. And so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. I mean, air is oxygen and nitrogen, but if it contained too much nitrogen, I mean, we get along just fine with air. If it contained too much nitrogen, we would not get along fine, and it's kind of similar.
Yes.
Adarsh, did you guys have to learn certain laboratory skills that were new to you?
One skill that we learned, like, towards the start of the program was we learned how to micropipette, and this was really important for us because whenever we were taking out the concentrations of those bacteria, it's usually really, really small concentrations, like 10 microliters, like 100 microliters, which with the normal pipette, you can't take that out with that precision. So we had to learn how to use the micropipette so we could take out those fine concentrations.
Wow.
So whenever we put it in, we had like more accurate results.
Yeah, a pipette is usually in milliliters, I would think. So is a micropipette just super skinny, or what does it look like? And anybody feel free to jump in.
To put into perspective, one microliter or one milliliter has 1,000 microliters.
Yes, you would change the size of the micropipette tip to get like a smaller concentration or a larger concentration. And then you would change the like size of the pipette itself.
How do you, I'm sorry, these are really nerdy questions, but that's me. Are you squeezing a bulb or using capillary? Like, how are you getting the liquid into something so small?
Okay, so like the machine, it's kind of a little machine, and how can I describe it? But anyway, there's like this mechanism that has like two stops. And then we have the P1000, the P200, and then the P20. That's the maximum amount of microliters that they can absorb and then be able to like eject into like wherever you need that to go. So then the first stop is how you suck in, absorb.
Pull it off.
Yeah. How you pull up the liquid. And then to put the liquid where you want it to be, you go all the way down to the second stop.
I got it. You guys would all be really good teachers. So basically, it's like you've got in those three models or methods you described, it would almost be like having a 1-gallon bucket, a 2-gallon bucket, and a 3-gallon bucket, and you use a combination of those tools to get the exact amount you want, except we're talking about microliters instead of gallons. Wow, that's pretty cool. And what about, I guess, your experiments as you set them up? Do you keep logbooks or take records? How do you manage the data to make sure you learn from it? That's got to take a lot of discipline, I would think.
Yeah, so we record all of our experiments. We try and keep a good record. So a lot of it is like picture data, but we do have certain data that goes into spreadsheets, or we put everything combined into our online lab notebooks. It's in a program called Lab Archives, and basically it allows us to have images, links, and text all in one place. And then our program leaders can also access those and give us feedback. And then eventually we can give those to our like parent labs, because we are a smaller lab in cooperation with two other labs. So then we can give all that information, we can pass it on to them, and they can do further research into it.
I was curious about when you started your research, was the problem or the situation handed off by another group that had been working on it?
Yeah, so to be able to kind of figure out the signaling pathways that these sponges do have, we first kind of wanted to see how we could trigger an immune response in these sponges. So a lot of our work is what triggers an immune response in the sponges, what do they usually live around, and then when we pass that off, then they can do some more work into what is that immune response? What does it look like? Not only from an outside perspective, we can see if the sponge shrivels or something, but in a signaling pathway, inner cell type of way.
It's got to be very cool to know that your work is going on to the parent lab and is maybe going to ignite a finding or something. How, now you've been at it for 3 weeks, how much more time do you have remaining? A couple weeks yet?
We have a week left.
Just a week?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so what does next week hold for you?
So currently we're just putting all our data together, coming up with conclusions, and we're going to have a final presentation on Thursday.
And that will be somewhere at Pitt, I assume?
Yes.
Where is it open to the public?
Yes, it is.
Where is it? Or can anybody? I'll get details if you don't have them offhand. Anybody know the time, place?
It's at 11 a.m. at Langley Hall, but I'm not sure the exact room. Like, yeah.
Well, that's okay. We've linked to the website, and if you go to biology.pitt.edu. You'll see the Gene Team program listed there and can find information about it. Anybody nervous about the presentation? I think you'll do really well. You're presenting extremely well right now, but it's exciting. Anything else you want to talk about the overall experience? I have some general questions I'm curious about, but the idea of, none of you knew each other before, and I assume there are other students in the program. And what's it like to, I mean, usually by the time you're in 10th, 11th, 12th grade, your set of friends is already pretty well established. What's it like to be thrown into a situation where you're meeting new people that have interests similar to yours?
I think at first it was a little bit difficult because everybody's coming from a different background, and at first you're not sure what everybody else knows. So sometimes it kind of felt at first like maybe I didn't know as much as everybody else. But I think working with the same people every single day for 6 hours, for 3 weeks, you really get to know everybody, and you understand that you're all in this for the same thing, that you're all trying to work towards a common goal. So that was something I thought was really interesting, and I think we've all become pretty good friends because of this.
Definitely.
Yeah, everybody has something worth giving, no matter what it is, and you just might not know until the experience. Any other observations about that?
Going into the program, I didn't really know that much about sponges and immune systems as a whole. And I think after the program, I'm so much more comfortable like talking about sponges and immune responses and what I've actually done. So I think it's a really good experience to do like actual research that you don't know the answer to, so it's fine. It's like really fun, like exploring what's unknown about science.
Other observations, that was Adarsh. You heard a moment ago Colby shared some thoughts. Anybody else? Angel? Emma? Here comes Emma.
Yeah, I think another really interesting thing about this program is that, you know, when you do science at school and you do labs, they usually hand you a procedure sheet and they're like, okay, do these things. And they kind of tell you what you're supposed to see to sort of help teach you about a phenomena. But being able to kind of design our own experiments and realize, hey, we're testing this at multiple different concentrations to see if it reacts differently, or just being able to design our own experiments and just realizing why we're doing certain things instead of just like the textbook science that you learn in school, I think is like such a big skill I've gained from this.
Yeah, that really applies to all of life, because problems are usually not established in such perfect ways as they might be in a textbook.
For sure.
Or on a test. Were you going to add something, Colby?
Yeah, adding on to what Emma said, something else that was really interesting is that we have no clue what our results are going to be. We have no set direction of what we're expecting to see. So you kind of have to throw away any like ideas that you might have about what you're going to see, because it's real science and nothing is ever exactly as you plan it to be.
That's a great observation. Ivy, anything you want to add?
Yeah, you know, I not only learned so many lab skills during this, but also life skills. We do have to problem solve. We run into problems. And, you know, we all came in here from different backgrounds. And it was a really cool experience to learn all about these people and learn how to communicate with each other and problem solve. And, you know, we're all trying to answer some unknowns. So it's been a really cool time.
Angel?
And also, like, beating off what Ivy said, we've learned science communication skills, like writing an abstract, elevator pitches. And also, like, I've just learned to ask more questions. Like, doing this real research without knowing, like, the answer to it, like, we've learned to ask, like, questions about, like, what we can do to, like, expand on this research later and stuff.
And Adarsh, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, going off what Emma and Angel said, it's really easy to just follow, like, a set of instructions and just not understand why you're doing something. But I think because of this program, I'm starting to learn why we do specific things and why we do specific, like, lab procedures and stuff like that. I feel like I'm asking more questions and I'm starting to like gain a little bit of a better understanding about what we're doing.
It's congratulations. It's so rewarding to hear what you've experienced. I'm going to ask you a trite question, but it's because people listening are curious, and I'll admit that I am too. Do any of you have thoughts about what you want to do after high school?
Yeah, I definitely want to continue with science and biology and continue research. I think this was just the start of my journey.
That was Ivy. Anybody else?
Yeah, similar to Ivy, I want to continue with biology and science. I want to eventually try to go into medicine and understand like a little bit more about biology as a whole and use like what I've learned to make an impact on people's lives.
And that, Adarsh, anybody else want to share? We won't hold you or commit you to anything, although we are recording this.
I know that I definitely want to go into biology. I want to go into, tissue engineering. I also am just really passionate about taking my science skills that I've learned and giving them back to, like, the community. And also, I think I've developed a sort of interest in bioinformatics and learning how to analyze data and process a lot of data, which I didn't really have a ton of interest in or experience with before Gene Team. But I think just being able to look at our data at the end of the day and see, like, real results and compare everything is just really cool to me.
And let's see, we still need to hear, if they'd like, from Colby and Angel. Colby?
So I've always wanted to do something in biology, but I think being in this program has really solidified that for me because I found that I really enjoyed the real research. I really enjoyed being able to go through these experiments and find real results. So I think that in the future I would like to work in a lab setting kind of like this.
I don't know. I think I would like to do something like STEM related, but I'm still not sure.
It's very early, but it's nice to have more knowledge of what you can do through this kind of experience. We just have about a minute or two left. Would anybody like to say something that you didn't have a chance to say? Well, thank you, Nora. Do you want to say hi on the radio? All you would need to do is stand right there. Come on over. Nora is here. Nora's the daughter. Oh, you can come over to my side. Oh, wait. Chad will help. Oh, this is good. Just come on. You'll have to get close. We'll share this. What's your name?
Nora.
How old are you?
6.
And why are you here today?
Because my mom took me to come here.
And what's your mom's name?
Jess.
And what does Jess do with these kids?
She teaches them science.
Isn't that nice? Do you know what you might like to be when you get older?
A teacher.
How come?
Because I really like science and I'm really into school and stuff.
Well, it's very nice to interview you. And to have you here, I like your shirt. You've got a science-y shirt on with a frog on it.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. And Nora, indeed, is the daughter of Jess Robertson, who is the Assistant Director of Outreach and Senior Laboratory Instructor for the Gene Team. And Becky Gonda also is here, a Teaching Associate Professor and Director of Outreach for the Gene Team. Thanks to all of you for being here with us today. Good luck Thursday. Your presentation, I know, will be a knockout. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.